Once again, I want to say thank you to both Rhonda and to Rick for being willing to do some music for us during worship services. Music is an important part of worship for us, and I want to thank them. I know Rick would be glad to share if someone would like to take his place one week and sing a solo, but I'm so thankful that he's been willing to do that so far. And I'm also so thankful that physically he's able to. Rick had his next to last chemo treatment this past Monday. So he's got two more weeks. Yeah, he's got one more treatment in 2 more weeks, right? So be in prayer for Rick as he continues to have. I've told him that if he got up Sunday morning and he just didn't feel like it because the chemo had affected him, to let me know. But I thank you, brother, so much for being willing to share with us. And I think the story or the song that he shared with us about me and God is important for our story today. Because at the beginning of this passage that I'm going to read from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting in verse 9, I don't think Elijah could have sung this song at the beginning of this passage. But I'm hoping by the end of the passage, he could, because I think he learned something. So let me read to you from 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 9, and I'm going to read down through verse 18. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your commandment, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha shall put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." We kind of jump in the midst of this story and want to go back and give you an idea of what happens right before this passage. You see, right before this passage, Elijah has had a significant victory over the prophets of Baal. He has had a significant victory. Maybe you know a little piece of the story about he set up a contest with the king. "You bring your prophets of Baal, and I'll come. And we're going to set up 2 altars on the mountain. And on one, I'll let you sacrifice. And on the other, I will sacrifice. However, we won't light the fire. You sacrifice a bull on your altar, and you call upon your god Baal to light the fire and accept the sacrifice. Over 400 prophets of Baal, and they prayed all day. And it is a story I like to read because it has some humor in it. I hope you will go and read that. I think it's in chapter 18, right before this passage. Because as they continue to cry out to God, Elijah mocks them and laughs at them and teases them again and again and again. He says things like, well, maybe your God's asleep. You might need to wake him up so that he can light the fire. They're cutting themselves and they're crying out to Baal and nothing is happening. And again, he teases them about their not God. It comes time for him to do the same thing. He's the only one there that follows the God of the Israelites. And he says, before we do that, I tell you what, soak the altar with water. And they do it. And he says, we'll do it again. And if I remember the story correctly, they do it three times. And Elijah calls out to God to take up the offering, and the fire immediately lights, and not only is the bull gone and the wood gone, but everything is burned up. It's gone. And God tells the king and the people that are assembled there, grab a hold of the prophets of Baal and kill them all. And the people do. Such a high spiritual moment. Such a high moment of excitement. This is where Elijah has just been. But you know what? Elijah has become worn down and burned out living God's calling. He runs from there. One of the reasons he runs from there, though, is Ahab and his wife Jezebel. You ever heard about Jezebel? Wonderful queen. Everybody needs a queen like Jezebel, right? She has not only steered Ahab wrong, she has led the nation wrong, in addition to Ahab leading the nation wrong, both of them. I can't say I've ever met anybody by the name of Jezebel, but I'm sure there's some out there. They are now trying to find Elijah so that they can kill him because he had all 400 of their prophets killed. Elijah runs. He runs to a place and is fed by God not only once but twice and told to go off to Mount Horeb. Or Mount Horeb also goes by another name, Mount Sinai. And I hope you know what happened on Mount Sinai. That's the mount that Charlton Heston ascended, right? Those of you that are of a certain age. That Moses ascended and got the Ten Commandments. Okay? He has been told to go there. And he hides in the cave there. And word comes to him, why are you here? And basically, just to make it short, he said, well, they're trying to kill me and I'm the only one left that believes in you. He is completely worn out and burned out. So God directs Elijah to the mountain on which Moses received the commandments. A sacred place, an honored place, a wonderful place. And he hides there in the cave. And once again, God says, after what's called an epiphany, God asked him again, why are you here? Because you see what has happened is it says first there was a wind and God wasn't in the wind. Then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And then it says, as many of us say quite often, a small still voice. The NIV says a gentle whisper. And Elijah goes and covers his face with his cloak, and he steps to the entrance of the cave, and God once again asks him, "Why are you here?" And he very boldly says, "I'm the only one left following you, and they're trying to kill me, so I'm hiding." I want to let you know that being worn out and being burned out is something that happens to most people on the Christian walk at some point in time. It doesn't just happen to ministers. It also happens to anybody else who's following God's leading. Sometimes we push too hard. Sometimes we work too much. Sometimes we overdo it, and we get worn out, and we burn out. This is what's happened for Elijah. And God brings him to this mount because it's a time of refocusing his calling and directing him back into mission, back into ministry. God is refocusing his calling and directing him. Notice what God says. Go from where you are and go back to where you came from. He doesn't say go in a new direction. He doesn't say, "Elijah, I understand you're tired and worn out." He says, "I want you to understand you need to get back into ministry and living the life that I have for you. You need to go and anoint some as kings. You need to anoint one who will follow after you." Sometimes it would be much easier if they had a little bit different names, Elijah and Elisha. Okay? Notice that there's two prophets with very similar names. And it's after this passage that he goes and he finds Elisha. And Elijah is so committed to following Elijah that he burns everything from his previous way of life. You always heard people say, don't burn your bridges. Elisha burned his bridges. He takes the yoke of oxen that he's leading and makes them a sacrifice to God. He says goodbye to his parents and follows Elijah the rest of Elijah's earthly life. Elijah is one of, if I remember correctly, two people in Scripture that don't die. I'll let you go find the other one if you don't know it right off the bat. But he is one of two people that do not die. He is taken straight up into heaven. And Elisha watches it happen, and Elijah's mantle, his cloak, falls to the ground, and Elisha takes it and continues to be a prophet of God. God tells Elijah, "You must get back into ministry. You must move from this place and go forward. You cannot stop." Now, why is this passage important for us? It's important for us because sometimes we burn out. Sometimes we get worn down. Sometimes we decide, this Christian stuff is just a little bit too hard. And today I'd really like to yell and scream at somebody instead of be a Christian. Today, I'd rather tell people what I really think. Folks, when you get to the place where you know that you are not walking the way that Christ asked you to walk, can I make a suggestion? It's time to pull back. And it's time to meet God face to face again. And listen to that small, gentle whisper of God telling you, this is what I've chosen you for, and get right back into it. One of the things that I'm forever thankful for, one of my professors, is giving us a clear and a deep understanding of Sabbath. Sabbath is time spent with God. Sabbath is time away from doing everything else. No matter what needs to be done, Sabbath is necessary. And part of what this story teaches me is that if you don't live Sabbath, you will wear out. I've met plenty of people that feel like they've got to work 7 days a week because nobody else is going to do the work. Nobody else is going to do it. It's not going to get done if I don't do it. When you start thinking that way, you start thinking you're better than God. Because even God said, I'm going to take a day off. God said, I'm taking 1 out of 7 days off. As we've been reading through the Gospel of Mark, what have I brought to your attention time and time again? Jesus pulls back and pulls away from people so that he can regather his understanding of his calling and his ministry. This is what's happening for Elijah. He needs to pull back. It's okay to pull back. But in the process of pulling back, God says, Elijah, I want you to understand the calling that you have. Here is your calling. Here is what I'm asking you to do. Now step right back into it. Sometimes, folks, when we wear out spiritually, it's time for us to get alone with God to gain focus again. It's time for us to get alone with God and gain focus again. In the midst of this world, it's easy to say, I'm not going to do that Christian stuff anymore. I'm going to hide at home in my cave. By the way, I got a cave at home. And that's what we call that room. It's called the cave. I used to call it the cell, as in a monastery. It's a cell where I go to be quiet and spend some time with God. But a lot of people started joking me about, oh, the pastor's in his cell. And that, we'll go back to cave, okay? But I've prepared a place that I can pull back. Now, I will admit to you, in the afternoons, I'm not allowed to sit in my lazy boy in my cave because the cat has declared that her sacred space. And she will get upset if I try to sit in her sacred space where she connects with God, I guess, because that's what the room's prepared for. But she will speak to me if I don't let her sit in her chair in the afternoon after lunch. And sometimes she will also speak to me if I'm home, if I don't spend time in the cave. What a great reminder that sometimes I need to pull back. I want to encourage you, if for one reason or another you've become burned out walking the Christian walk, if you become worn down trying to step forward in the spiritual life, it's time to pull back for a moment. It's time to get off by yourself with no radio, no TV, no other noise, and just spend some time with God. And listen for that gentle whisper. What is God trying to tell you? Sometimes we get too busy and we don't hear it. It's time for us to pull back and listen. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be two pieces in that small gentle whisper that you hear. One is, here's your calling. This is what I'm asking you to do. And the second one is, get to it. Step right back into it and get to it. Because there are people in this world that need to know Jesus Christ. And if we don't tell them, somebody else might not either. So do you need help from God? Do you need help from God to gain a better focus for moving forward on the spiritual journey? Do you need help from God? Then what I want to say is it's time to step back and get that help from God so you can step forward. Because God needs us active in this world. God needs us living our callings. Quite often we talk about people being called to the ministry. Every Christian is called to a ministry. It may not be a professional ministry as a clergy, as a leader in a church, but God has called you to be part of the kingdom of God and bring the word of Jesus Christ to this world. God has called you. Is it time for you to step back and refocus so you can step forward again and be who God wants you to be? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of Elijah. We thank you that we can see in the midst of the scriptures that there is a person who needs to regain their focus for living the Christian life. A person that needs to understand in a deeper and a richer way what it means to be your person, where you're calling them to be. So we want to pray, Lord, that you would help us to know when we need to take that time to step back, to maybe sit in our cave for a little bit, so that you might be able to call us forward into the spiritual life of blessings, grace, mercy, comfort, peace, love, joy, that you so much have for each one of us. So Lord, guide us to regain our focus in a world that so desperately needs you, that we might help people to come to know you, because we do know you, and you have helped us to gain a better focus on our calling. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.